And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are. It's over. It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.
Hello, I'm Paul Solentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast, where we're going to continue looking back at some great Shocker basketball games from previous seasons. I've got Bob Hull with me, and we're joined by Mike Kennedy to really keep us on track here as we stroll down memory lane. Today, we're going to talk about the Gonzaga game, March 23rd, 2013, Wichita State knocked off the top seed of the NCAA tournament, 76-70 in Salt Lake. I think this, in my mind, this is the game. Some people have disagreed with me. In my mind, you can kind of talk about Shocker basketball up until this day, and then you can talk about a totally different animal after that day. Tell me I'm wrong. Push back on that if you're so inclined, because some people have.
No, I think it was very significant, and I think going in, we didn't have a real sense yet of what to expect. The Shockers had played really well against Pittsburgh. That was encouraging. And I felt like Southern was competitive enough against Gonzaga to make them look human, at least, and make it look like it was possible. But just the year before, a really good Shocker team had lost in the first round to VCU. And so I think we were still kind of getting a feel for just what Wichita State might be capable of.
It's got to be one of the biggest games in recent Shocker history, in my mind. It was a huge win, beating the number one seed. You could make an argument for the Final Four game against Louisville or the game against Kentucky in St. Louis during the undefeated season. But this game, as far as getting a win and a big win, and I think the main reason what it was unexpected. You know, no one thought that we could beat Gonzaga.
Let me give you a few details here before we get into this. You'll remember Ron Baker, 4-6 from three, scored 16 points. Also had, in kind of typical Ron Baker fashion, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. Clay Anthony Early, 16 points. He made 4 of 7 three-pointers, 7 rebounds. Fred Van Vliet, 13 points, 3 assists. This was kind of the national coming-out party for Baker and Van Vliet. The Shockers went 14-28 from three and had the big comeback. Played about 8 minutes of perfect offensive basketball. They were down 58-51 with 6:29 to play. Scored on their next 8 possessions and scored on 10 of their final 12. From those final 8 minutes, what sticks out in your memories?
You know, one memory I will never forget. You mentioned Ron was 4 of 6 from three. He was lighting it up. And he went up to shoot wide open from three again and saw Ahime wide open under the basket and dished it off. And, of course, they immediately fouled Ahime, who was a poor foul shooter. And that was typical unselfish, team-oriented Ron Baker-type play. But I'll never forget, there was a timeout immediately. And Chris Jans must have met him 20 or 30 feet out on the floor and said, in effect, shoot the ball. That's something I'll never forget from that moment.
Might have been a couple of adjectives.
Yeah, there were some expletives mixed in there. Sure.
Yeah, he got in his face all right. Let's see. I just remember it looked like they had the game in hand. It just looked like they were just going to blow us out, and they had most of the crowd there. They had a huge following, and it was out west in Salt Lake City, so their crowd was going crazy. We were struggling. Everybody was in foul trouble. Clay Anthony had 3 fouls. Carl had 3 fouls. Bunch of foul trouble. And they were killing us on the boards, and that's usually how we beat people, is we out-rebounded them and we out-defended them. Well, they were killing us on the boards. They got 18 offensive rebounds in that game. But we came back by hitting threes. And it wasn't a really good three-point shooting team. For Wichita State to win a big game by hitting 14 of 28 threes, I mean, how many times has that happened? Not very often.
Well, Doug Gottlieb did the game on TV, and I remember, to his way of thinking, that would never happen again. He just couldn't believe Wichita State team made 14 threes. He always considered that win a fluke, if for no other reason than because of that.
And the biggest three in my mind was the one Fred hit. He was in the game. He was playing with Malcolm Armstead in the second half, and they were taking turns playing point guard. And the shot clock was running down. There was nothing going on offensively. Fred got stuck with the ball over in front of the Shocker bench, and he just had to put one up with a defender right on him. I think it was Stockton's son on him. And he hits his fadeaway three right at the end of the shot clock, and he held his hand up as he shot the ball. And the ball goes in, and he looks over at the bench and says something to the bench. And I remember screaming to Mike, "Get back!" because Kelly Olynyk took off down the floor. They threw deep to him, but he turned it over. He tried to pass back to somebody, turn over. It was a huge play.
Yeah, I remember saying on the air at the time that it was one of the biggest shots in Wichita State history, and that's without the perspective of knowing where they were going from there a couple of games down the road. I just felt like it was one of the biggest games Wichita State had played in many years, and for the situation, as Bob just described it, where you weren't sure if they were even going to get a shot off at all, and he makes a huge three, and that was also, you know, in retrospect, kind of the beginning of what we came to know as Fred Van Vliet, the clutch player throughout the rest of his
career. And now he's doing it in the NBA.
Yeah, to have two freshmen to play the way that Ron and Fred did was really really special and really indicative of where they were going. You mentioned Kelly Olynyk. Let's throw out a couple Gonzaga names to kind of refresh people's memories, because they were physical and they were big. Olynyk had 26 points. The kid that killed them, Mike Hart, really just a hustle guy, would have been the kind of guy that Greg Marshall would have loved to have coached, you thought, and he kept a lot of those offensive rebounds going. And kind of the interesting thing about those final 8 minutes, it was not a typical Greg Marshall effort, because Gonzaga was scoring. They just could not score Wichita State at that point.
Well, they had the game in hand, had a big lead, and Greg Marshall trying to just switch it up. He went to a 2-2-1 zone press and back to the matchup zone. And it was such a good shooting Gonzaga team, it was pretty scary to go to zone. And if you remember, Kevin Pangos hit a couple of shots. Tekel Cotton had been guarding him the whole game, and Pangos had been struggling and really hadn't gotten going in the ball game. But when the Shockers went zone, Pangos hit a couple. But then they missed about three or four in a row, and that was during that run when the Shockers started hitting the three. Klay Anthony hit a couple, Baker hit a couple, Fred hit that one, and then I think even Carl hit like a 17-footer that surprised us. But all of a sudden, they were missing, Shockers were hitting. But, yeah, Pangos, Olynyk, Gary Bell Jr. was a great player for them, and he was guarding Malcolm Armstead and really bottling Malcolm up. But then he got hurt. He twisted an ankle right at the start of the second half, and he didn't play most of the second half.
Yeah, that was a big factor. That was going to be one of the things I was going to bring up as far as other turning points, because then in the second half, Shockers are shooting jumpers over Pangos and David Stockton instead of Gary Bell, and that was really helpful for Wichita State. And
he was there to kill Cotton.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Olynyk, and you know that was the guy you wondered how they were going to match up and handle him, because he was so big, but he could play inside or out. He could face up and shoot threes. And as you said, he had 26 points, but I look at the box score. He took 22 shots, and for a player of that caliber, that's probably handling him about as well as you can. To make him take that many attempts to get that kind of point total was probably a win in some ways.
Well, and he had the other big guy, Elias Harris, who we were worried was big, strong, would dominate us inside, because the Shockers weren't huge then. It was Dickale Cotton and Carl Hall. He came off the bench but didn't play a lot of minutes. They really did a good job on Harris. Harris was not a factor in the ball game. He got some offensive rebounds but didn't score much.
You mentioned Carl Hall's jumper, and I thought that was a big, big basket. That put him up 62-61. And it was one of those things where, you know, he was here for 2 years, and you kept hearing he would talk about, I need to expand my range, I need to shoot jumpers. And he kept working on it, and that was a time where it really, you know, the biggest of moments, he had enough confidence to step up and knock down a long jump shot. Really paid off.
The way you described it's perfect, because I was thinking the same thing. He had worked on it, and he had started to take a few more face-up jumpers down the stretch that season, but that particular shot showed that he had really developed the confidence to take that shot in a big situation.
Some guys, you're surprised when they miss. Other guys, you're surprised when they make. I think we were a little bit surprised that he took that shot and then pleasantly surprised that he made it.
Yeah, I don't think we looked at it like, oh, yeah, that's going in.
I think Carl, you know, if you're going to pick somebody, kind of an unsung hero from this game, I thought he did a credible job on Olynyk, kind of got physical with him. And a couple people mentioned that. They thought that, you know, that was Wichita State's edge. They could be physical, and maybe Gonzaga didn't love that way. He blocked three shots. I think he had a block or two on Olynyk that turned out to be really crucial. Only scored 8 points, but I think he only had one rebound, but I thought he did some things that were really important in that game.
Well, and he was in foul trouble the whole game. He got in early foul trouble, had to sit, then he got his third foul and had to sit. And right at the start of the second half, he gets his third foul, so he had to sit a lot of the ball game. But you're absolutely right, Paul. He outplayed the Gonzaga bigs, and they were a bigger, more experienced team, and I thought Carl outplayed them.
Also, if you're talking about unsung, a little bit, it's hard to think of it this way now because of what he became, but Fred's game was maybe the first really big game that he had in that kind of primetime situation. I mean, he'd been backing up Malcolm all year. As Bob said, it started to play a little more in tandem with him down the stretch, and that game maybe the most to that point that he had played in that situation and made big contributions late.
And what I didn't know until you wrote the article about the game a year or so ago was that Malcolm talked the coaches into putting Fred in and playing with him, because they were alternating and Malcolm was playing most of the minutes, and then Fred would spell Malcolm at point, and Malcolm said, no, put him in there, let us play together. That allowed Malcolm to go over to the two guard. Fred brought the ball up and Malcolm could score more and hit the board some. And then I thought Ron Baker, you know, remember, he didn't play a whole lot most of the season because he had the injury. And he came out and played in the quarterfinals of the Valley Tournaments and helped Shockers beat Missouri State, because they were losing that ball game until Baker started hitting threes. And then all of a sudden he got more minutes and Demetric Williams got fewer minutes, and Baker had a tremendous game, you know, against Gonzaga.
Yeah, this is a little bit like the 2011 NIT from the standpoint. This 2013 team stumbled a little bit coming down the stretch, and then you get into postseason play and you get a big win or two, and all of a sudden, you know, everything changes, the mood and everything.
Well, when you lose senior night to Evansville, that hurt after losing three games during the regular season in a row. And when's the last time the Shockers lost three games in a row? Well, that season they lost three in a row. Then they lose on senior night, and then they go up to Creighton and get thumped up at Creighton. And so, they didn't go to Valley Tournament with a lot of upside, with a lot of confidence.
You know, the other thing that I'll never forget about that Gonzaga game, and obviously the moment a couple of games later where they're cutting down nets in Los Angeles and all of that had its own special feel. But there weren't that many Shocker fans in Salt Lake City. The Alumni Association couldn't get a charter together because the year before a lot of people had gone to Portland, spent a lot of money to do that, and then they lost their first game. So people were kind of waiting to see what happened. There was the crowd that was there was right behind the Shocker bench in the second half, and then right around the corner on the end section was the band. And right at the end of the game, the band struck up that "You Don't Want to Go to War with the Shockers." And all of the coaches and players lined up on the end line facing the band and were singing along and moving with the music. And it was, of all the things that happened, it was maybe the most spontaneous, joyful moment of that entire run to the Final Four. It was just that showed you, I think, just how big a win that was to everybody concerned to win that game.
And they were right in front of us.
Yeah.
You know, our radio spot was right on the far right side, about even with the free throw line. The band was to our right. The bench was across from us. And that little dance party happened right in front of it. It was really cool.
And I think that reflects the exponential difference between winning one NCAA tournament game and getting to the Sweet 16. You've just, you know, you've given yourself an extra week of, you know, love and hype and fun and travel and all that kind of stuff. So that was definitely a spectacular moment. There's no question about that. Okay, let's talk about, you know, kind of putting this game in historical perspective. And one thing that's important, you know, Wichita State started that game, the other side of the bracket had kind of been in upheaval. They knew they were either going to play Mississippi, the 12th seed, or LaSalle, the 13th seed. So not only did you know, you beat Gonzaga, but you know that maybe your road is opening up a little bit for you. Put this game in some perspective then from over the long haul.
Well, I think that, you know, certainly we've seen plenty of runs by teams that had the bracket kind of fall their way like that. And that was the one for the Shockers. That next game with LaSalle wasn't who you might have expected to face when you got to that point. But, you know, again, it was right at the moment, it was just the reality that you'd reached a Sweet 16 when going in. You weren't sure that that was even a possibility, playing the number one seed in the entire bracket. And now you look back on it and see other things that have been accomplished. And like we talked about at the beginning of this, maybe the Gonzaga win to some people doesn't seem as big. But at the time, it was, I would have to say, the biggest win in I don't know how many years in the history of the program.
Well, the Shockers hadn't won the regular season. Like I said, they lost three in a row at one stretch. They hadn't won. They got beat in the conference tournament. So there was some, we thought we were probably going to go in, but we weren't absolutely sure that we were going to get in. And what were the eight or ninth
seed? Nine seed.
Nine seed, okay. So you know you're going to play, if you win your first game, they beat Pittsburgh pretty easily, you're going to play a number one seed. I looked at all the one seeds, and I thought we got the best one seed to play. Because even though Gonzaga was very, very talented with Pangos and Olynyk, they hadn't played as tough a schedule as some of the other one seeds. And I just thought we matched up with them. We were strong where they were strong. I thought our guards, although they didn't have the names that their guards had, I thought our guards could handle their guards. So I thought it was a good matchup. And then looking past this game, I thought Ohio State is a good matchup. You know, obviously LaSalle, that was, it was great to play them instead of the team that they upset. But then I thought Ohio State was a team that was very beatable too.
You know, the other thing that maybe gets lost in all of that, and I forget about sometimes, but I think that it was right there where Greg Marshall really showed his ability to rise to an occasion and bring a team up to the occasion they were in. You know, the play angry thing had come up at a home game before that when Antoine and X were in town. But Antoine called them because he had played in Salt Lake City, had played with the Jazz, and he called them, hey, you're going into my place, you got to play angry. So the whole play angry thing got going again. And then I remember there was a practice, and Coach Marshall called everybody together at the practice after they'd beaten Pittsburgh and said, are you satisfied? You know, that little challenge, is this enough for you? Is this one win going to do it for you? And I think he had showed a great knack through there of bringing the team up to every level that they faced from there on out and handling the expectations.
And Greg Marshall is one of the few coaches that lets the cameras into the locker room. A lot of coaches just don't like that and don't want that. And he was one of the guys that did allow it. And I thought that really helped popularized the Shockers nationally because the cameras were in the locker room watching the pregame talk and watching Marshall motivate the guys, and he let the cameras in after the game. And so I thought people got a really good inside look at the Shockers and how Marshall coached, and the country kind of fell in love with that team, I thought.
That was a striking part of that run, was how much fun Wichita State had, and Greg took a lead role in that. You know, they were going to soak up all the atmosphere, they were going to use it for every bit of publicity they could, and that's a good example of that. I think there was some availability or opportunity with CBS that maybe Ohio State turned down or another school turned down, and Wichita State was, you know, all for it. And I think he did a good job of, you know, of capturing that and selling the program as much as he could.
Yeah, we tried to turn everything into positives. I remember when we got to the Staples Center, you know, Ohio State was a higher seed. I think they were the two seed.
Two seed, yeah.
And so they got the Lakers locker room. And so when we played them, we had the Clippers locker room. And I said, hey, guys, Clippers are better than the Lakers now. So we had the better locker room. So we kind of tried to turn everything around and get an edge, you know, a psychological edge.
All right, that's been our look back at the Wichita State's 2013 NCAA tournament win over Gonzaga. I thank Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull for helping me out here. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast.
Bradshaw into Wingate. Wingate's going to dribble it a couple of times and throws it in the hands of Cousinard. Threw it away. Cousinard to Ryan Martin for the dunk. The Shockers are going to the Sweet 16. It's all over. The Shockers up 7. 3 seconds. 2. Jumper by Smith is no good. Wichita State to the Sweet 16. Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing. Fires a three. Good! Ron Baker with his third three-point field goal of the game, and Wichita State goes ahead by four.